Wellington on Saturday on News Talk ZB with Lewis's, making your decorating dreams a reality at a price that works for you.
It is 20 minutes to 10 o'clock. These days, you could be forgiven for thinking that almost everyone is allergic to something. People who need to be gluten-free, they're lactose intolerant, they can't be around cats, pollens can be a nightmare, and don't even mention peanuts. It's not that bad, of course, but certainly allergies are a significant reality of New Zealand life. We, in fact, I believe, have one of the highest prevalence rates of allergic disease in the developed world, which is why the Health Research Council of New Zealand has provided over $6 million in funding to Wellington's Maligan Institute. Institute Director Professor Graham Legros joins us to explain. Graham, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Just so we know what we're talking about, the most common allergies in this context would be what?
Well, asthma is an allergic disease, and that's the one that is at the highest rate, certainly in the children, and gives us such a lot of grief, because there's nothing like watching your loved ones actually having difficulty breathing and nocturnal asthma. But what's really worrying is the food allergy and the eczema, which you see in the first months of life. That's becoming far more common for reasons that we just do not understand. And as people tell you, there's nothing worse than the eczema, atopic disease, and living with food allergy and trying to avoid who knows what for those most important years of your life.
I can identify with all of that, because as a child, I was both a shocking asthmatic and I was covered in eczema.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I can remember having my arm looking like the side of a ship, like a whole lot of portholes where they'd been digging away, trying to find some kind of clue, which they didn't. And you're right, you know, asthma in New Zealand, its incidence in this country has always been a mystery to me.
One of the capitals, and Wellington, unfortunately. And it's been really frustrating for a lot of really good people and scientists, because it's because of the nature of the disease. When you actually get it, as you obviously did get it, the symptoms are so profound, and all the research and drug development has been at that very sort of symptomatic phase, but we now realise that the first events, the most important ones which you're trying to prevent starting in the first place, could happen probably in the first months of life or the first years of life, many years before you actually start expressing the disease.
Yeah, and I understand that asthma is relatively rare in, say, Polynesia and the islands, and yet its incidence, once they're here, is bad, if not worse. It's weird.
So
it's weird.
There's been many good studies trying to find out what causes it. And so there's been a lot of correlations, and I think about the best correlation is speaking English. If you go around the world and find out what correlates most, besides TV watching and getting a bit fat, is actually speaking English,
which
of course must be nonsense. And
so
we're now turning, well, other researchers have turned to say, well, what have we taken away from, say, moving from Polynesia to New Zealand that allows allergic disease to start developing? And there's some interesting ideas, the hygiene hypothesis, my own particular version, I'm pursuing this grant, that actually worms. It may be that there's an important part of the environment with all our improved sanitation really has affected our susceptibility to developing allergy.
In other words, it's reduced our natural immunities, perhaps, you mean?
Yeah, well, actually reduce the sort of natural regulatory mechanisms which come along with immunity.
Right.
And we actually don't know why you have to be allergic. It's actually a very rare part of the immune response. Most of the immune responses we're all very familiar with flu virus and that sort of thing, but this is a very special kind of response, and it has that very special kind of reaction, which I know you've been through, a very quick, immediate reaction. And you just feel miserable.
Yeah, absolutely so. And I understand also that even, you know, I mentioned the fact that we're one of the highest prevalence rates in the developed world, that mostly impacts on younger people and children. And
well, you've lived through it. It's been quite upsetting, because it tends to get dismissed as over-hysterical parents, et cetera, et cetera. But you actually are a good poster child for this, because all through your school years, you're affected by the fact you've got these funny skin reactions. You tend to want to hide, or if you're asthmatic, you can't run with the other kids. And a lot of people try and hide it because you just can't keep up with the others. And I think that the impact is really quite severe. Now, I should also mention it's increasing, food allergy, eczema, and normally it's said you grow out of it when, you know, as you approach the teenage years.
And some do,
These days, and from the trends that seem to be happening both in America and Australia, kids aren't growing out. They're going into their late teens.
Okay.
And so there is something going on in the environment. So the purpose of the grant is actually accepting, well, we've done a lot of research, but we haven't found out what's causing it or not causing it.
So what kind of research can you do or do more of with this funding?
Well, we're using a lot of fancy little genetic tools, and of course we have to use some mice, which actually we don't cause the horrible disease, but they actually help us understand the first initial events, which are so rare. We then can find out what to look for in the humans, and it's really important that we can do that, because we've got no idea what are the first events when you start getting primed up.
Because you're absolutely right, just going back again to asthma, and we don't want to say that asthma is the only allergy, but as you say, it's a very, very common one.
Yeah.
That all through my lifetime, it's all been about the management and the control, it seems that at my age now, we don't really know much more about the root cause, in other words, to cut it off at its inception, than we did way back then.
Exactly, because it's not a genetic disease. There are a few. You know, if you've got slightly leaky skin, you know, some people have born with thinner skin than others, and they're more prone to developing allergic disease in some ways. But for the most part, it's not a genetic disease. It's something about the way we've changed our environment, things we might have put in our food, and that's what drives a lot of angst is actually, have we put something in the food, changed the processing of our milk?
And yet, Graham, you see, this mystified me. I remember even as a young child that I was the third born of six children. The two that preceded me, and I mean the same family circumstance, the same kind of diet, not a big age difference between us, the asthma emerged in me. The two ahead of me were fine. It's weird.
It's really weird. And with this grant funding we've got, they've recognised that, hey, we need to go back and look at the basics, look at the fundamental biology. Because, of course, normally they don't want to fund that kind of research because it's sort of long-term. It looks like a whole lot of scientists playing in their labs. But it's really critical, and this is around the world, and we're one of the few groups really being given the chance to go back to the beginning of the response and find out what's happening in babies and kids.
Imagine how much money you could save on medication if you were able to...
Well, you wouldn't believe it, but this kind of problem that the developing world is facing is economically significant, and it's actually predicted that it's going to prevent them from being able to develop the first world kind of thing, because the economy that you have to spend on all your puffers and inhalers and all those other kinds of things... Because you know you need it. You'll do anything to breathe.
So the other significant allergies, is there a commonality among allergies themselves?
There is a commonality. The actual driver, the kind of, you know, that sort of lumpy wheel and flare. That's actually the sign of allergic response. But I have to make a point here. It's very part of the allergy epidemic, which is being recognised both here and around the world. There's also a lot of other things to do with the stomach or the intestinal tract where, you know, you've mentioned the food intolerance, the gluten intolerance. These actually aren't allergies as such. And the poor clinical specialists in this country are facing a tidal wave of distraught parents or distraught individuals who really need proper clinical guidance as they try and go through and separate, have they got an allergic disease or some other kind of inflammatory condition of the gut or food intolerance.
Yeah, you see, I think back again, if I think of peanuts, which I mentioned in the introduction, that as a younger person or even in my early adult life, I don't recall people being allergic. Nah. But now it's to the point where airlines won't even serve peanuts.
Exactly, and kids and in their parties and kids' shows. It's actually quite serious because people say, but actually if you have that peanut allergic person, and so the proteins in the peanut are so solid, they actually can cause quite life-threatening events for that kid. And you don't want it. Now, remember, too, peanut protein, it's a very cheap, useful form of protein. It's been put in everything, you know, from oils, baby oil, peanut oils and everything. And so we've also changed the environment. We've made it a very peanut environment.
It's true.
Very cheap source of protein for food.
Yeah, I think the closest I ever got to it was peanut butter, probably.
Yeah.
So you'll have quite a big team working on this?
No. Actually, it's a big team if you count all the international collaborators we have and if you count people around the country. It's a suspicious little unit of about 10 people and... And students and some long-serving members, and we work away there. Yeah. And some clinicians. I'm up in Auckland.
And similar research is happening elsewhere at the same time, is it?
There's all sorts of different types. We look at different aspects. We've got some really special approaches that allow us to look at the sort of the hormones and the genes and the types of cells that are in the skin that first started off. And we're a bit of an expert in how the parasite infection can interact with allergies, and we're sort of testing out some very interesting ideas that maybe putting parasites back or putting parts of parasites back may actually dampen down the development of allergic disease.
Fascinating stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 5 years' time, I'm saying, here's some worms. These are worms are good for you. So that'll be a bit of a shocker.
Well, leeches are back again, aren't they?
Oh, I know, yeah. I don't think I want those things. A bit horrific.
Fascinating topic. And as we said, you know, it's touching on more and more New Zealanders and their daily lives.
And having the clinicians as trained up to be able to deal with this tidal wave is really, really important as well.
Yeah, I dare say. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Professor Graham LeGros from the Maligan Institute. They've got $6 million worth of funding to understand the whole allergy thing. You know, you can almost sort of some days feel you need to apologise that you haven't got an allergy. But in all seriousness, it's a worry. It's a huge expense, and New Zealand's health system is already burdened by escalating costs. And you know, how can we go on funding health, and all these sorts of things? Of course, are chewing away at the health budget too.